Okay, our next presentation is the short-term impacts of conservation practices and nitrogen management and cotton production on the Southern High Plains.
My name is Mark McDonald, and as you said, I'm going to talk about the short-term impacts of conservation practices and nitrogen management in cotton production. So a little bit of history about the High Plains. Conservation tillage was brought to the forefront of farming following the Dust Bowl, and that those efforts have reduced soil erosion by 40%, so there are definite benefits to that. The Texas High Plains is one of the largest and most productive cotton regions in the U.S. and in the world, producing over 3.5 million bales in 2016. And in this area, we have high heat and winds coupled with low amounts of rainfall, making working in this area more challenging. And when examining some of the history of this area, we wanted to see what those short-term impacts right after you implement some of these conservation tillage systems had on cotton production. So the objectives of this study kind of frame that. We wanted to characterize the short-term changes resulting from implementation of conservation practices coupled with nitrogen fertilizer management. We also wanted to quantify gaseous losses for managed agricultural soils, and we wanted to determine the best management practices for environmental quality and maintaining cotton production on the Texas High Plains. Our hypothesis for this study was that implementation of conservation management practices and altered nitrogen application will result in a reduction of the intensity of gaseous losses, as well as will have a negative effect on cotton yield. And this comes from the literature where we've seen in other areas that implementing cover crops can reduce gaseous loss, but also will have a negative effect on cotton yield early on in the study. So our research site was located in Lubbock, Texas at the Texas A&M AgriLife Research and Extension Station. Our system was implemented in fall 2015 following the cotton harvest. That was when no-till was implemented. Our first wheat cover crop was seeded in November of 2015, but that failed. So we replanted in January of 2016 for the 2016 season, and then for the 2017 season, we planted the wheat cover crop in November of 2016. Cotton was planted following wheat termination in late May 2016 and early June 2017. This study was designed as a randomized complete block design, is arranged as a split plot with three replications. Our main plot was tillage for this study, and we had three different tillages. We had our no-till with winter wheat cover, which will be referred to as NTW, our no-till winter fallow, which will be referred to as NT, and our conventional tillage, which will be referred to as CT. In addition, our split plot for this study was the nitrogen application timing, in which we had five different timings. We had no applied in control. We had 100% pre-plant, which was applied post-cover crop termination. We had 100% side dress, which was applied at Pinhead Square. And we had a split application of 40% pre-plant, 60% side dress, as well as 100% pre-plant with a commercial nitrogen stabilizer from BASF. And all of these plots were irrigated using furrow irrigation. It's important to note that all of these nitrogen rates were 168 kilograms per hectare, applied as UAN-32 via knife and coulter. So the methods for the study, we soil sampled pre-season and in-season for both years of the study, up to 60 centimeters depth. Pre-season soil samples were taken after cover crop termination, and in-season soil samples were taken just before that second application of nitrogen. Yield was assessed for both years of the study, and in 2017, we decided that we should examine the cotton fiber quality data as well. Our greenhouse gas measurements were taken using a GasMad DX4040 FTIR analyzer. We focused mostly on CO2 and N2O, as we saw those were generally the more significant fluxes we saw. And those samples were taken monthly, as well as 1, 3, and 7 days post-nitrogen application. So a little bit of results here. We see the pre-season soil characterization for the 2016 season, so at this point there was no nitrogen applied in the study, so we just examined it based on tillage. As you can see, our pH is fairly low. We have low organic carbon, which makes sense being on the High Plains. And our nitrate levels are also fairly low, and these were taken to 0 to 6 inches or 0 to 15 centimeters. Important to note here, you can see the nitrate levels are lower for the no-till wheat, which makes sense. The cover crop used some of that residual nitrogen to establish itself. This is pre-season soil data for 2017. We see similar trends with the no-till wheat having lower nitrate nitrogen levels. In addition, we saw that with nitrogen application, the pH was decreased for this study. And when you just look at the non-cover crop treatments, the no-till and the conventional tillage, there was higher nitrate and nitrogen in the treatments, which all the nitrogen was applied at once. And we suspect this is possibly due to reduced plant uptake efficiency when you're applying all 168 kilograms at once. So just a little summary of the soils. Quickly, nitrogen uptake by the cover crop reduced nitrate nitrogen prior to planting cotton. Our nitrogen treatments reduced soil pH, and nitrate nitrogen was greatest for treatments in which all the nitrogen was applied at once in non-cover crop treatments. Moving on to the gaseous losses. These are cumulative gaseous losses for CO2 for this study over the 2 years. Some interesting points here is that our split application was highest for the no-till wheat and conventional tillage, as well as the side dress application being highest for the no-till. But in general, there were no differences between any of these management practices and the conventional tillage by pre-plant combination, which is fairly common in cotton production on the high plains. This is cumulative flux for nitrous oxide for this study. The red bars represent where we applied nitrogen. Interesting notes here is that generally the greatest flux of nitrous oxide follows those nitrogen applications. And we saw that in the no-till wheat system, the three greatest fluxes were from treatments in which all the nitrogen was applied at once. So kind of sum the gaseous losses up before we move on to yield and quality. CO2 flux spiked late in summer 2016, but this wasn't seen in 2017. And we suspect this is just due to environmental differences. It was fairly hot late summer 2016. It wasn't very hot late summer 2017, so microbial activity would have been slightly reduced. And in general, the best CO2 mitigation practices were not significantly different than that very common conventional till by pre-plant application. As far as N2O goes, the largest flux followed nitrogen fertilizer application. N2O emissions were also generally only observed during the growing season, which we will examine in the future, and negative N2O fluxes were also seen for every treatment at some point during the two-year study, especially in the controls where we did not see a single positive flux where there was no nitrogen added. And we suspect this is due to the ability of some microbes to use atmospheric N later in the season when the mineral or nitrate nitrogen levels get low to complete that last step of denitrification and generate a little bit of energy that way. Moving on to yield, this is yield for 2016. Yields were very high for this year in this study, and we suspect that is due to greater nitrate lower in the soil profile that it accessed due to previous research done on this area. But in general, the conventional tillage was highest in 2016. We suspect this what is also due to the ability of that conventional till system to translocate some of that nitrogen higher in the soil profile out to access it easier. 2017 was pretty much the exact opposite. We saw greater yield in all of our no-till wheat plots than we did in our conventional tillage plots. And we kind of suspect this is due to early stand benefits, which we did not specifically examine in this, but just generally noticed. Early in 2017 in Lubbock, it was hot and dry and windy, and so that wheat residue could have provided some shading benefits to kind of mitigate the temperatures. Obviously, the residue would have blocked some of that wind. And in addition, we did irrigate this shortly after planting, so then we would have recharged that soil moisture, which would have held on better for the no-till wheat. Sum up this yield quickly. We had conventional tillage significantly greater in 2016. No-till wheat was generally better in 2017. Lower yields in 2017 overall we attribute to stand establishment in the dry-hot conditions early in the season that really affected our stand, as well as in kind of summary for the yield, the cover crop did have a positive impact on yield in the second year of this study. Moving on to some fiber quality data. As you can see, the mics were fairly low this year for this study. However, the no-till wheats did generally do better within each treatment. Length, strength, and uniformity were all fine or good for this study. And so to kind of sum that up, we saw that the mics were low, and we suspect that's due to late planting. We planted on June 6th, which is fairly late for Lubbock. And the early benefits of that no-till wheat allowed the mics to be better, even though they weren't great. But then we also had some late-season rains and an early freeze, which would have stopped any maturity. And then, as I said, no-till wheat generally trended better with every fiber quality parameter, especially with our side dress application, which actually performed best for every single fiber quality parameter. So in conclusion, 2 years after treatment initiation, yield was generally greater for no-till wheat than conventional tillage. Year two was dry and hot early, cool and wet late, which may have allowed the cover crop to aid in soil moisture retention and soil temperature regulation early in the season. And then with that stand establishment being better in those, and it had a longer time to mature as a full-grown plant. Cotton fiber quality from year two had generally better values for no-till with a winter wheat cover. And our gaseous losses were not significantly mitigated by implementation of soil management or nitrogen timing, which was one of the main focuses of this study, but at this time we're not able to make recommendations to producers based solely off gaseous loss mitigation potential. With that, I'd like to say thank you to Texas Tech University and Texas A&M AgriLife Research, and especially to Texas A&M AgriLife Research, which is funding source for this study, BASF, for providing product, my advisor, Dr. Katie Lewis, and Dr. Paul DeLon, as well as our research assistant, Dustin Kelly. With that, any questions?
Any questions for our speaker?
Yes, in 2017, combined with the no-till wheat, it actually had the highest yield of any treatment and tillage combination. It was UAN, so urea ammonium nitrate. Yep. Yes. Yeah, it was injected with. So they were taken within the middle row of the plot. So it was four-row plots, and so between the second and third row, we had our collar that was placed roughly just outside of where we applied the nitrogen. Yeah. Yeah. We are currently working on that for the 2017 season, so that data will be available. Yeah, so we took whole plant samples in season and just before harvest to examine uptake halfway through the year as well as